good, Gary.
KO4 in UE in the net, KI4 DOS. I guess you didn't understand when I said no traffic and Enjoy would be in and out. I'm picking at you. We had a good day over here. Wanted to tell you what happened yesterday. You were giving me a fit about not wearing shoes in the house, which I don't. I don't wear shoes in the house. I take my shoes off and run around in my sock feet, or I may put on my slippers or whatnot. But I was in a meeting yesterday on the computer, and I got through with a meeting, and I had my toes underneath my computer chair here, which is on wheels, and I just pushed back from the desk and ran over my big toe. And my big old fat self ran over that toe, and it really hurt. I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Oh, yeah, I didn't feel a thing. Not a single thing. But just want to let you know, yeah, I did misunderstand. I wrote down, matter of fact, got two X's by you and Miss Joy tonight. So I apologize, Gary. I just, the hum on your signal was, it honestly, it distracted me a little bit. It's a little bit better, but it's still there. But I gotta ask: Is your toe blue or anything? How bad it hurt?
I don't know why there's a still a hum or some noise on my signal, because I'm on a completely different radio. So I don't know. Something's going on crazy. No, my toe didn't turn blue or anything. It just hurt like the devil. And of course, I jumped up and down, hopped around on one foot there for a few minutes. But it's okay today. It didn't flatten it or turn it blue or make the toenail turn black or whatnot. It didn't do as far as that goes.
Yeah, just want to let you know it's still there. Not as bad as the original transmission, but it is still there. Very copyable, though. Also, I need to come yours and Chris's way here in the next couple of days, and want to schedule some time where I can drop by for a few minutes where it's not inconvenient for you and Miss Joy.
Well, when you were talking that time, I went back to another radio. I don't know if it's still there or not, let's see, trying to think. We've got, Joy's got to have some dental work done on Thursday, and other than that, don't have anything set in stone, over.
Yeah, it's still there, but like I said, it's not bad, but it is there. So you're saying Thursday, is that correct?
When Joy has to have some dental work done, and that noise is coming through the repeater, Chad. It's when you unkeyed before the squelch tail cut off, I could hear it then. So it's actually coming out of the repeater from somewhere.
Okay, all right. All right. Well, let's do this. You get with Miss Joy and find out when would be a convenient time for y'all. I'm not gonna stay long, but I've got something I need to drop off. I need to drop off to you and Chris's. So I'm just gonna, while I'm in the area, just knock them both out.
Well, when were you planning on going to Chris's?
Holler tomorrow and see what's convenient for him. I know I can't be Thursday, so it'll have to be, I guess, tomorrow or Friday, I guess. But like I said, you just let me know what's convenient. If y'all not there, I can just drop it off on the porch.
Tomorrow or Friday would be, either one would be good. We should be home, probably Before lunch, I'm hoping, shouldn't be over to the dentist office, but about an hour maybe. I don't think it would take much more than that, but you know how the dentist office goes. If he gets backed up, you know, everything else backs up on that. But we should be here about, I would say, by lunchtime on tomorrow after, or Thursday afternoon. So, you know, if you want to come by in the afternoon, that would be all right, too.
See that, just swing by and visit with Chris for a little bit, and I gotta drop something off with him, and then on the way home I'll swing by y'all's place after lunch. But if you know, the dentist office doesn't go well, and she doesn't feel well, just let me know and I'll reschedule another time or just drop it off.
And like I said, it won't be, should not be a problem. But anyway, what else were we talking about? Oh, I was talking about ran over my toe. And there's something else I was going to tell you now. I forgot about it. If I think about it, I'll let you know. But other than that, I guess that's about all we've got going on over here on this end of town. Sound like you got a good net going. Appreciate you and Anna both calling the net. Anna called it last night and had a good net. Joy got to talk with her for a bit and enjoyed that. And then you called tonight and I talked, and she's in there listening on the HT. And so everything's good as far as that goes. Anyway, anything else that's going on, I don't know about it. So we'll go from there. Tell Anna we said hello, and give us a holler and let us know when you're going to come by, because like I said, we'll be home after lunch, I'm sure, from the dentist, and on Thursday, and you know, tomorrow or Friday, whenever you want to come. You're more than welcome.
Line on Gary's signal. It's actually been on this signal for a couple of weeks. Have you done anything different at your house, Gary, that might would be sending that humming in? Because I've actually heard it. It was on when you called the net last Wednesday, pretty bad at times. Figured somebody would have told you about it by now.
Nobody's told me anything about it. But I'll do some research and development before tomorrow night and see what I come up with, because I don't want to have any, you know, something like that going on while I'm calling the net. But I do appreciate it, and like I said, that always helps.
I talked with him just for a second. I'm going to go get my cell phone, and I'm gonna record the sound, and I'll send it to him so he can hear what's going on. But y'all pick it up. I gotta go in the kitchen and get my phone.
I guess that's one way to get me to rag too, huh?
Well, yeah, it is, and I can't think of a better person I'd like to talk to, because I hadn't seen you in a while. You doing all right over there?
Still upright, so I ain't complaining. Still blessed.
Boy, you got that right. I'm in the same predicament. I'm still in an upright position on this side of the dirt, and everything's going well. If you ate too much over Thanksgiving, I did.
Sure didn't. Actually, I hadn't put out my call sign yet. This is KO4QLG. My Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday was a can of Bush's mixed chili beans, but I was actually looking forward to eating that, trying them out. We had our Thanksgiving dinner the same day you did on Saturday, so me looking forward to eating that can of beans to try them out was actually a good thing. So my Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day was actually pretty satisfying.
OS, in case anybody cares. Well, that is really good. You know, Joy and I normally, Joy and I and the boys have lasagna on Thanksgiving. It's years ago, the boys told their mother that they didn't want turkey and dressing and all that at Thanksgiving and then again at Christmas. And she asked them what they wanted, so she did. They told her lasagna. So she has been making lasagna from scratch for years. And she's great. She fixes a great big pan of lasagna and a salad and the breadsticks and all that good stuff that goes with it. But this year she changed her mind. She said, "I'm not fixing lasagna. I want a traditional Thanksgiving dinner." So she a big turkey breast and dressing and giblet gravy and mashed potatoes. My daughter-in-law, Heidi, Stephen's wife, brought, Joy made green beans, too. But Heidi brought macaroni and cheese, rice, what else did she bring? Sausage balls, and Anthony and his bride brought dinner rolls. And so I've been sitting over here picking out, and Joy baked pumpkin pies, and Heidi baked me a sweet potato pie, too.
You were saying, I was thinking, was that lasagna, turkey lasagna? But I got to think turkey lasagna.
Okay, Chad. No, Chris, it wasn't turkey lasagna. It was, regular beef lasagna. Had the ground beef and all that good stuff in it. But I'm with you. I don't know if that turkey lasagna would be any good or not. Of course, I don't know. They flavor turkey up with all kinds of stuff. It tastes pretty good as bacon if it's cooked properly. So other than that, I'll let you go, and I'll let you turn it back over to Mr. Chad. Chad, I'll say 73 to you, and appreciate you recording that, so I'll be able to listen to what it is, and we'll go from there. Y'all take care. Have a great evening, and whatever y'all decide, let me know. KI4DOS.
It's KO4QLG. I'll turn it back over to you, Chad.
All right. Any additional stations that'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KO4NUE.
This is 4 Hotel India, W4HI. Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, Seneca, no traffic, just listening.
Welcome, W-4-H-I, Mr. Bruce in Seneca. Bruce, appreciate you dropping by with us tonight, sir, and hope you have a wonderful evening. All right, with that, are there any additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Please call K-O-4-N-U-E.
Chad, K-I-4-D-O-S.
Go ahead, Gary.
You and Larry were talking about that V-71 running on just the hot lead. Years ago, if you bought I bought a Citizen Band radio years ago, and it did not have but one lead on it. It was the power lead, the hot lead. Everything was chassis ground. Everything went through the chassis. When I was in the military, I had a radio in the aircraft that I checked out, and it was bad, and I sent it over to IMA, and they said it wasn't nothing wrong with it, and sent it back. I put it back in the aircraft, and it wouldn't work. So I carried it back over there and put it on the bench myself, and it checked out perfect. And I said, "Well, something ain't right." And when I was checking it out at the IMA site, I had the cover off of it. Well, I put the cover back on it, and I said, I think I'll check it one more time. I checked it one more time, and there was a wire that was grounding out to the chassis ground and causing the radio not to work. That's another little tidbit.
So how I discovered it was this little project I'm working on. I need to be able to break the circuit on the negative lead. And so I disconnected, broke the, had the radio off and put the negative lead into my relay, and it wouldn't work. I thought, Oh, man, I've been working on these stupid things for 2 weeks, and I can't get them, you know, it won't work. So I spent probably 30, 40 minutes troubleshooting that thing, and then just got discouraged and just disconnected everything and said, hey, I'll deal with it tomorrow. Well, when I disconnected, I took the project away from, you know, the negative lead, and the radio was still on. And I thought, that can't be right. And I said, okay, well, it's grounded through the coax. So I unscrewed the coax, and it stayed running. Transmit on it, do anything you want to on it. Works just fine. So I just said, well, I'm tired, and I must be seeing things. I can't process things sometimes when I get tired. But I came back next morning and verified that it was there. So I've been thinking about it for a couple of days, talked with it about a couple of friends, and could not, you know, this doesn't make any sense. But when I bumped the switch console today, the radio flickered, and I said, okay, that's got to be it. So sure enough, you know, be careful with sheetrock screws, because, you know, that's what happens.
KI4LZI. It's QST. I don't know about Gary there. And this, like I was telling you before, Chad, reason you need to be getting it. Of course, I don't think you got any of this equipment, but back in the old days, Halicrafters, National, and some others, it says here under the classic radio column in the current QST, amateur radio equipment with a hot chassis. And what they meant by that, somehow or another, it was grounded through the... And back in this day, everything was vacuum tube. And if you wasn't careful, it would bite you. But I know Larry gets QST. I don't know if Gary does or not, but anybody that's got current QST ought to read this, because it's talking something similar about like what you're currently talking about. KI4LZI, back to you all.
Figured that out kind of the hard way. But, at any rate, Andy, Gary, anybody got any other comments? I'm gonna go ahead and shut down for tonight.
You get the QST, Gary. KI4LZI.
Paper version anymore, Andy, but I do get it through the internet. So I look at it that way. Go ahead. Secure your net there, Chad. It's KI4DOS. I'm clear.
But you go ahead and look at that, Gary, and the current issue on the class grade and see if it ain't something. It's something similar to like what he's talking about. Go ahead, net control. KI4LZI with this old tube dude.
You have a nice evening, sir. All right, everybody, please stand by for my net report. Now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73's to all on the net, and it's been a pleasure to be your net controller tonight. This is KO4NUE, and I am clear.
JBQ, you still there? KI4LZI.
4LZI, KK4JBQ.
You heard what they was talking about. You got your current QST. Well, you can get to it and read that on the classic radio about amateur radio equipment with a hot chassis.
I have that, it's across the room over there. I keep the current issue handy. And like a lot of other people, I file the old one away every month. Gary said he took a lot of space in the shack. And I don't have a lot of space, so that's why I keep the reading material elsewhere. It's a little inconvenient, but I don't have a workbench here. It's just radios and speakers and the computer and such. I don't know, I probably told you at one time or other that my shack is about 4 by 4 foot square. You could fit it into a closet. Anyway, I'm comfortable with it like that. Good to hear you, Andy. Really good to talk with you. And I will take a look at that article. Thank you for mentioning it. KK4JBQ.
Well, I come in here near the end when I was hearing you all talk about that. It reminded me of this article here about some of the old tube gear here that hasn't been around in years upon years, and no doubt some that Walt's probably got over there. Some of this old tube gear, just receivers even, now some of it was. Where, as literally as they say, the chassis is hot, and you got to be careful, because it'll bite you. It will. Talking about a Hallcraft, it's S-38. Let's see, what is that in there? That's a National SW-54. All this stuff by today's standards is very primitive, but the way they fixed it in there, though, you had to be very careful. Because as they said here in the QST about keeping the cost of building the rails as low as possible, they literally did it to the point that it would bite you if you wasn't careful because of that. And I read somewhere here in here where they was talking about with certain ones you could use the three, make a change, say like on the SB33, they was talking about here where you could use a 3-plug power cord and use on it, and that would eliminate the problem.
I understand what you mean. Commercial radios, the tube type, were very similar to that. Especially what they call the All-American 5 and the All-American 6. One had 5 tubes, one had 6 tubes. But they wired the tube in series, like Christmas tree lights. So if one tube went out, they all go out. And they also switched what winds up being the negative lead. But back in the day, your plug to go into the wall was not polarized. It didn't have that spade that was wider, you know, on like there are on three-pronged outlets. You'll have one that's wider. That's your neutral. And then the thing that looks like a post is the ground. And your hot lead is the small one. Well, anyway, so these things were, they had a B-plus voltage in the tubes. That's the high voltage side, of around 640 volts. Now, that is a bite. It can actually kill you, 640 volts. So when working with old radios, tube type, you do have to be very careful, and best thing to do is to take that and switch out the power cord, and you put a capacitor in the switched side, which should be the negative side, or the neutral. Switch the neutral to turn it off, and that's and that capacitor in there will go first if something catastrophic happens. That capacitor will go away, and there again, it's a bit of a protection. So I am familiar with that, and I admire anybody that takes tube gear and brings it back to life. I think that's a worthwhile thing to do, and there are a lot of hams that do that. The current equipment, it doesn't have that high voltage in it, and so inherently it's not something that's lethal if anything goes wrong. Anyway, Andy, hope you have a good night. I'm My tire is showing. I guess I sound that way too. So I'll let you go. You have a real good night, and it's very good to talk with you. KK4JVQ, I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, well, go get your paper QST and look at that. It's on page 96. That reminds me of something our good buddy Ray Allison told me years ago about another ham that I used to hear on here back in the 80s, maybe early 90s, W4OGE, down at Batesburg, who used to be able to get into this repeater here. I wondered whatever happened to him, and Ray told me that he was messing around with an amplifier, tube amplifier, and it bit him and ultimately killed him. Because I was asking Ray what happened to him, because I hadn't heard him in ages and ages, and that's what Ray told me had happened to him, W4OGE out of Batesburg. So you got to be very careful, especially, as you say, with old tube gear, but some of this old tube gear and what he was talking earlier about reminds me a lot of it. So go take a look at that, and you'll see what I was talking about. KK4JBQ, KI4LZI.
Brand new E.